Welcome back to the Thought Police. We're in episode 3.
Oh my God.
Isn't this incredible? Lewis Schaefer's here again. That's 3 times you've come in.
I'm waiting to be fired.
Yeah, well, it could happen.
Because you thought, oh my God, this guy's going to be perfect. That's what people always think about me.
Right.
This guy's going to be perfect.
It's not what I was thinking, to be honest.
It wasn't. No. What were you thinking? We had to get somebody. We better do something.
Well,
soon.
You know, I thought, well, we've got to resurrect the Thought Police. And how can I make it different and more interesting and... slightly more eccentric, and so I thought of you.
Well, people have described me as eccentric. That's a very
British... Is that a good thing?
In this country, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But in America, eccentric means you're a bit crazy.
They don't like it in America, do they?
No. If you plan on being crazy, they respect that.
Yes.
But if you're, like, born crazy...
If you're actually crazy.
If you're actually crazy, if you didn't put any work
here,
into it...
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Because here... There's nothing worse than a British person who thinks they're eccentric, but really they're not. I used to work with a guy who thought he was eccentric.
Yeah.
And he would come in dressed to work in kind of like tartan suits and things.
Yeah.
Because he had to show that he was eccentric. It's like people who have to show you that they're funny.
Yeah.
You don't have to be shown that they're funny. If they're funny, they're just funny. And this guy was not eccentric. But he dressed like he was eccentric.
Because what you just said is the English way. They shouldn't have to show you they're funny. In
no.
America, you respect somebody who actually works at being funny.
Mm.
Or work like Madonna worked at being a rock star. And she became a rock star.
Yeah, but did you see her at the World Cup final?
Nobody's life ends well.
I mean, she shouldn't have done that.
I didn't
that
see what she did.
That was appalling. She was at they did a halftime show, right? Which was a bit like the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl halftime show is fine because it's American.
Yeah.
But football isn't American. Soccer.
Yeah.
You know, and they shouldn't have had a halftime show.
Soccer is an English name. It comes from association football.
Okay.
It's an older
name. Oh, is that
name.
Right? I didn't know that.
That's where soccer comes from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then why do they call it?
I just made that up.
Did you? Well, I believed it. You're very good at that.
Yeah. But I think that's the reason. That's what I've heard.
See, I believe in you, you see. So therefore, when you say something, I just assume it's true.
I know. And then 1 minute, you go, oh my God, I can't believe I listened to that guy. The point is, soccer, go on.
So they did this kind of halftime glitzy glamour. They covered the pitch up, and they had all these dancing people on rollerblades.
Mm.
Madonna wearing a very short pair of shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, they should have been like wheeling around in a wheelchair. It's how old she is, you know. It's like get in a wheelchair where you belong.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to watch old women dancing. Sorry.
What, you prefer to watch old men dancing?
I don't want to watch old anybody doing anything.
I know.
Really.
I don't want to say,
kind of ironic, given that we're described as old gits doing
people
this.
People do find her attractive. They must find her attractive. I found,
not anymore.
I don't want to say a bad thing about Madonna. I really respect Madonna. I respect what she's done, what she's accomplished.
You might not know this.
Yeah.
Well, you probably don't know it.
Because
it only appeared briefly in one newspaper for a short time. Mm. I interviewed her high school boyfriend who took her virginity.
Yeah, that's what he thinks.
The great thing was, he worked for UPS, right?
Yeah.
And he hadn't told his wife, because I got to the house and he wasn't there.
Was he married at the time, or was this before his...
No, they were 17.
So what is the big deal?
There was no big deal, but it was I think the People magazine had mentioned, she had put something in her high school yearbook and they tracked down the high school yearbook, and so I was given the task of tracking this guy down.
Yeah.
And he lived just outside of Detroit somewhere, in the middle of nowhere. And he was a
UPS
driver.
And he's the guy who claims.
Well, she said it, and then I found him, and he had said it was true. Well, as far as he knew, it was true, you know, in the back of a car when they were 17. And his wife was really funny, because I went to see her, and he was out. She's like, oh, he's out. He'll be back later.
Yeah.
I think it was News of the World in those days I was working for.
Yeah.
And used to tell people I was from the Times of London.
Yes.
It all sounded better, you know. They'd go, oh, the Times of London. And so.
Because they don't know how bad the Times of London is.
She was like, and she's like, what, why do you want to talk to my husband? I said, do you not know? And she was like, no. And I told her. And he never told her. And she was thrilled.
Yeah.
She thought it was great.
Well, because women like men to sleep with other women to give themselves to give the women the feeling that they're with somebody of a high accomplishment.
Yes. Especially if somebody famous, right?
Yeah.
So that was quite funny.
I met somebody who supposedly had sex, but big deal. People have had sex with me. And if they were smart, they wouldn't admit it. They're not going to admit it.
No, I don't think they would. That's a very good question. You could do a show, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, women not admitting that they'd had sex with certain people.
Of course they're not going to, because this whole, and especially nowadays, which is this body count business. Which is...
Oh, yeah, that's all a bit distasteful, isn't it?
I think it's really bad. First of all, it's the belief system that you can actually keep the germs of the first person you've ever had sex with
right.
in your body.
Is that why they have the number, then? Is that what that's about?
That's partially what it's about, because...
Presumably, the number being too high is bad, but not being high enough is also bad.
Yeah.
So what's the ideal number, then?
No, the idea is they're supposed to be women and not supposed to have sex with anybody, but they do and they should.
Right.
And they just shouldn't and tell they can.
But they just shouldn't tell me.
Well, because there are so many men who are like, they're just obsessed because we've been taught that people are dirty, so you can't have sex with. When you have sex with somebody, you're going to catch their germs.
That whole See, I've never thought that. I've never
believed
that.
Okay, then we're on the same page here. How is this show going to be successful if we're on the same page?
Well, we can differ on other things, I suppose. I mean, you said just before about how you're not going to drink water anymore.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that because I drink quite a lot of water.
Well, I don't think you should.
Why?
First of all, if water is so necessary, how come when you drink a glass of water, you've got to go to the bathroom and pee it out almost immediately, if it's that necessary?
I think that's just your age.
No, I think it's...
You have to do that with anything you imbibe.
No, people have to...
I don't know. Here's an interesting thing, because I discovered drinking water in a sort of rather large way was better for me. When I used to do a four-hour radio show over at Talk, I found that the only thing that I didn't need to go for a pee was water. Because if I drank tea or coffee, I needed after a couple of hours, I needed to go for a pee.
Right.
And it was difficult because I was hooked up to all sorts of things. You'd have to unhook yourself and run to the toilet, run back in a sort of two-minute space of time. So I found if I just drank water, I didn't have to go for 4 hours.
But because tea and coffee, they're irritants.
They're diuretics, aren't
they? They're diuretics, and they irritate. They irritate. I don't even want to talk. What is the point you're making?
Well, I'm saying water surely is good for you to drink as a detoxing thing. Because somebody like me, I drink quite a lot of alcohol. So I figure I should drink a lot of water to make sure that my system is cleansed in some
way. Water, drinking water is one of those myths that today, that the powers that be, like what can you do to improve your life? You drink water.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. It's probably a lie.
We made fun of the whole, because the idiotic thing now when you see these people on the tube carrying these huge cans of water, right? Like literally that big.
Yeah.
And you think, what are you doing? You're on a train for 20 minutes. What do you need that much water for? What are you going
to
do with it?
It's because the state wants to tell people to do something.
Well, every time I go on the tube, there's a sign. Yeah. Please drink water. Take water with you. No, I don't need to take it on the train.
They didn't. No one ever took water when they were on a hot day.
I've been using the tube since I've been alive, right? Yeah. And I can tell you, in the 1970s, when it was roasting, one, we didn't even have bottles of water. The first time I saw a bottle of water was in New York when I was living there in the 80s. And you started seeing these very attractive women walking around with bottles of Evian water.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what's that? What is that? And then it would be like, oh, yeah, you can now buy water.
In a bottle.
And I'm going, well, it's free. It comes out of a tap. What are you buying it for?
But this is special
water. right? And then it became this massive business. I liken it to the guys that invented wheelie bins, you know, because before wheelie bins... Nobody needed to put their rubbish in a big plastic container with wheels. And now every house in the world has got one. Can you imagine inventing that?
They used to have aluminum or galvanized steel.
Yeah, the things that the bin men would pick up and throw over their shoulder. But somebody had invented the wheelie bin, and now somebody's got very rich off it.
I don't think that's a good example.
No?
No. I don't think that.
Well, if you'd invented the wheelie bin, you wouldn't be sitting here.
No, the wheelie bin is easier for them to bring it to the truck, and it doesn't have a can, the lid that comes off.
Yeah, no,
there's definite benefits.
It's not so much that it's a benefit. The point is that every house has now got one, which means that whoever invented it was able to then
has
got rich off it because they made everybody want one.
But this is something different.
I mean, that's fantastic consumerism.
This is something you'll agree with. It's the state. The state, whatever it is, the powers that be, the industrialists, they want to tell people to do stuff.
Right. You
and
can
drink
say shit
water.
If you want.
Say shit, sorry.
You can say shit. But why do they want us to do all these things?
Because it means... that they are in control of our lives because they know better than we know.
Yeah, I got a thing the other day from the electric company.
Yeah.
We haven't, you haven't done a meter reading for 8 months.
Right.
I'm like, I don't do meter readings. That's your job. You're the bloody,
to come over.
You're the electrical people. You know, I don't ask you to come and do a show for me.
Yeah.
You know.
But aren't you plugged into the whole thing? Don't they have...
I don't have a... I had a whole thing last year with them. They wanted me to get a smart meter.
Yes.
Which I don't really want.
No, you shouldn't want that.
They can switch your electricity off if you want, right? You've used too much. You know, you're burning up the
right,
you know,
or we galaxy. Don't like what you said.
Or we don't like what you said. And, you know, you went out yesterday, so now you have to stay in. And so I had a big row with them. Scottish Power it was. And I said, all right.
That's what I call my ex-wife.
Scottish Power. Very good. I said, all right, I'll tell you what. You think I should have... They sort of convinced me over the phone. They said, well, everybody's going to get one. And at the moment, if you don't have one, you might end up paying more money. So I fell for it. And I went, all right. So when are you going to come? And they said, we need a four-hour window. I said, why 4 hours? You know, I have to wait in for 4 hours. I said, you can't be more accurate. Can you not ring me like the day before and say, give me a two-hour window? No, can't do that. So I basically told them to piss off. I'm like, well, in that case, I'm going to change my supplier. And they sort of started panicking, going, what do you mean? And so I did. So I changed my supplier and went to EDF. And so they were very helpful. And then about 5 minutes later, they were like, we need to put a smart meter in your house. And I'm like, I thought I'd got out of that.
Right.
And I said, how long do you need? And they went 4 hours. And I'm going, I'm in the same place now with a different
company.
It's
probably the same guy that's installing.
Probably the same guy. Anyway, eventually I whittled them down and they gave me a 2 hour window. And then they didn't turn up at all.
Right.
First time. And then the second time I made them give me a 1 hour window and then it did turn up. And the guy came and he said, oh, actually, you haven't got two tier electricity, so you don't need a smart meter anyway.
Yeah.
So I haven't got one. But at least I then learned where the meter was because I'd never read it.
You never had, but they must have come to your house in the past.
Somebody must have done, but I'd been living there since 2008 and I'd never read the meter.
Okay, so, they haven't knocked on the door and said...
They might have done, but I just don't answer the door.
But this reminds me of the Ronald Reagan joke about the Russian who's told that that the electric guy is coming, you know, a year from today. Right. And the guy asks, is that a morning or afternoon? He says, what does it matter?
It is a good one.
And the electric company goes, he goes, I need to know because the plumber is coming that day too.
That's great.
That's the old Ronald Reagan.
That's a good one. But it is, people make, I mean, I got asked yesterday by somebody, we'd like you to come and do this event in November.
Right.
And I've sort of said yes, but I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in November. I don't normally make plans that far in advance.
Yeah, but you have things coming up. You know you're going to do something. If somebody says to me, there's a gig for you in November, I just automatically say yes.
Yeah, right. But you don't really know if you can do it.
No one knows.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but how do we know we're going to be alive tomorrow? How do we know we're going to be alive in the next...
Well, because I drink water, that's how I know.
Yeah, because you think water is good for you. But
I think it is.
I don't think it is.
I think it's bad for you, is it?
I think it puts a strain on your body to drink water.
Really?
Yes.
In what
way? I'm not even sure myself, but anything...
Because you've got this weird diet that you do, right?
Yes.
So now you don't want to drink water either.
I don't want to do anything that they tell me to do.
Okay. That's fair. I sympathize with that point of view.
Yeah.
But occasionally...
Like they say to you, put in a smart meter. You automatically think, no.
No.
Why are you telling me to do this?
Exactly.
And why are all these companies, they all sound like political parties. EDF.
Yeah, right. Right.
And Scottish Power.
It's true. It's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Imagine the amount of thought that they put into whatever they call the company.
Yeah.
Right? Because Scottish Power, of course, isn't Scottish. It's owned by the French.
That's right. But back in the day, Scottish was a good thing. People like Scottish people. I like Scottish people. Right. Now I know about them, and I'm not so sure.
I'm entirely in agreement with you. I've got an entire family of Scottish people who I don't really know and don't really want to know, to be honest. Because both my parents came from quite big families, right?
Yeah.
Because they had big families in those days. I think my dad had something like 6 or 7 siblings and my mother the same. So you got all these cousins everywhere.
And that wasn't even a big family, 6.
Yeah, and all these bloody cousins everywhere. And I remember when I got married back in the 80s.
Yeah.
this woman turned up. I had a party in New York, and then we had a honeymoon in France, came to London, had another party in London for the people who couldn't make it to America.
Big shot.
And this, yeah, what a waste of time that was. And this girl turns up at my door in my parents' house in London. Yeah. And I was like, who are you? I'm June. All right. June who? I'm your cousin. Yeah. You know, and the last time I'd seen her, she was about seven or something.
And what does it mean to be a cousin? Yeah. You can be a million different types of cousins.
Yeah, and then because when I lived in, and then of course I lived in New York in those days, and you know, all these people wanted to come and stay. Because you live in New York, they go, oh, great, we can come stay in your place because, you know.
Because you're in New York and you've
cheap.
Got a place.
Right, and I used to tell them to piss off. I was like, no, you can't come and stay. I'm in a one-bedroom apartment. You can't stay here.
Well, Americans invented hotels for that reason.
Well, exactly.
Or
but it's amazing when you live somewhere like, you know, London or New York, there's all these people that want to come and stay with you.
Yeah.
And if you lived somewhere crap, they wouldn't want to.
Well, I mean, that's for some areas of London. I don't get anybody calling me up.
Well, maybe that's just because they don't want to come and see you, though.
That's also probably
that could be it.
They heard about it.
I'm very, very anti having people stay with me. I can just about stomach my kids staying with me.
Well, what's his name? Mark Twain said 3 days. It's like a fish.
Yeah. You know,
3 days is too much. But other people like family. We've been taught not to like families.
Do you have an extended family?
I have an extended family. I've got two sons.
Well, that's extended. You'd like to think that you know and you love your children. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like cousins and uncles. And
I remember you mentioned cousin and my family, they never ever told what kind of cousin it was. Right. I used to say, well, what kind of cousin? How is it related? Is it
First or second and all that?
Whatever that means, is it your father's brother's son?
I think the word cousin was used because they don't know.
They don't know.
They just call it cousin. But I got loads of them and I don't know any of them. Most of them I probably haven't even met.
Yeah.
Because there's dozens of them.
Because you're
dozens of cousins.
Because you are semi-famous, and people like you.
And not everybody likes me.
But most people.
In fact,
people
the most
like
likely
you.
People not to like me are the ones who are in my family.
Why?
Because, actually,
why?
Because they know me
you.
Best.
They know you best.
Well, because I've inevitably had a row with them.
Yeah, him.
I mean,
him?
All my kids, right? We had a sort of. Yeah. It was almost like an intervention one time.
Right.
I was in my sister's house in Connecticut, and we were all sitting around.
Yeah.
And all my four kids were there. And they all started sort of
show off,
ragging on me.
Yeah.
You know, sort of telling me what they didn't like about the way I was. And in the end, I told them all to go fuck themselves. I was like, well, if that's how you feel, you know, I'm fucking, you know.
Were they really angry at you?
No, not really.
Or disillusioned.
They were slightly, I quite like people to, I don't really care if the people don't like me, but I don't really like people criticizing me. I don't take it that well.
Yeah.
Especially if they're telling me that, you know, I should do things a bit differently or I should be, you know, more sympathetic.
Well, why? Why do you care about that?
I don't know. I just think that...
I like to hear criticism.
I like people to say, you know, that thing you did was great or, you know...
But what happens,
the way
if,
you
it was,
handled
what happens
this?
If it was bad?
Well, I don't see it like that.
I know you don't, but don't you want to know?
Well, no, because it's just somebody else's judgment then. They're telling you they don't think it was good.
Yeah, but that's collectively, maybe one person, but if you've got got hundreds of people telling you that wasn't quite...
Well, it wasn't hundreds. There's only four of them.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, it wasn't so much one thing. It was more my general kind of persona. And I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask them to, like, examine me.
Yeah, that's... Right? You're different than I am. I love criticism.
Do you?
I think I do.
Do you expect it, though?
I do expect it. And it's like what Nietzsche said...
Mm. That's the second time we mentioned Nietzsche.
I know, that's why.
Getting very highbrow this podcast.
No, what he said is a compliment. Is a compliment is more obtrusive than a reproach.
Yeah. Well, compliments are hard, aren't they?
Yeah. They say, "Oh my God, I love your work." Well, what work did you see?
Yeah.
I want to duplicate it.
But then you're putting them on the spot because they might have just been saying it to be
yes,
nice.
Yes, exactly. But if they tell you an insult, they said, "I saw the thing you did with Mike Graham. You kept on touching him."
Right. Oh, yeah, they don't like the touching, do they?
They don't like the touching. Big deal.
Although, I must say, reading, I don't know if you read the comments.
I've read every single comment.
Some of them are good, aren't they? They quite like it.
I saw only one negative comment.
That's amazing.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, I get a lot of negative comments.
But how
could
there be only one negative comment when I've put so little effort into this?
Well, it just shows you that sometimes it takes a while to learn that, you know, the least effort sometimes produces the best result.
Can I name a name? Lee Mack said that to me. He said about how he became successful in comedy. He said he learned what not to do.
Right.
What not to do.
Yeah. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Like there are certain things, like for example, somebody once said to me, who was quite a big wig in the radio business when I started out, he said, just don't ever mention Hitler because it's never anything good.
Because
it doesn't go anywhere good if you bring it up.
Right.
You know? And I've studiously, now until having just said it, adhered to
you
that.
You could feel the...
Yeah. No, because people do it. And whenever anybody mentions, I kind of flinch because it's like, don't mention Hitler. It's not a good thing because then, you know, especially like speech radio, people develop conversations and then there's... And then you say, well, you can't liken that person to, you know, him. That would be wrong. But they keep doing it, and it really makes my teeth itch if people do it, you know?
Yes, because there's nobody else like him.
But there kind of is. I mean, they could have gone with Pol Pot or somebody, or they could have gone with...
Well, people don't
but they know don't go with Pol Pot. They always go with Hitler.
Because Hitler was pretty damn good at representing bad things, but people today don't even believe that.
Well, some people don't.
No, and that's...
But there are lots of weird people now out there who don't believe lots of things. I mean, I used to do
this overnight show
on TalkSport years ago, and I used to get all the, like, 9/11 truthers
who
would ring up and say, you know, well, of course it's not real, you know. Of course it didn't, you know. And what you were saying, it didn't happen. And they'd be like, well, no, it did happen, but obviously not the way they said, you know.
Yeah.
And then they would go, look at the way the building fell down. And I'd be like, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
talking to some half-cut character in Birmingham, and I'm like, "So, when did you get your specialty?"
I was calling from London.
how many buildings that are that big have you seen being demolished?
Yeah,
right. And of course, they hadn't seen any other buildings. So they said, "It doesn't fall like that." Well, this one did. You literally saw it falling. Yeah, but that's not normal. And I'm going, I'm sorry, I don't think you're really qualified to say...
Am I supposed to argue with you?
No.
Because I am going to argue
with
you.
No, I'm just saying that...
Because they might be right, though.
No, they're not. Because people have
They might be wrong about that, but it's like, it is, a flat Earth is possible.
Well, now you're talking about something completely different.
Yeah, I'm using that as an example.
Yeah, but it's not, is it? The Earth is not flat.
It's not quite as interesting as it used to be.
Well...
Is that what you mean?
No, that wasn't what I was aiming for, no. I was thinking more about the actual geographical
shape. I don't even know
why
I thought about that. But it's like...
No, but it's all these people who now don't believe certain things happen.
But you're talking to me as someone who basically refutes everything that everybody has ever said in the history of the world. I don't believe in any of it.
No, but so you have to believe in some of it.
If somebody says to me that the World Trade Center was brought down by American, you know...
Well, that's a different argument, in a way.
Well, what was the argument that you're making, that it didn't come down?
Well, no, the argument they were making was that it was demolished, that it was actually, that there were explosions which caused it to come down as opposed to it being hit by a plane.
Right.
Right? And they would say things like, when you see the way that the building fell,
it felt kind of
see
so perfectly
little mini
planned
explosions as it is coming down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's... the actual explosion of the stuff inside the building being forced out of it as it collapses in on itself.
I haven't spent that much time thinking about that. But I will say that it's possible. I wouldn't put it past...
Not everything is possible, though.
No, not everything, but that's possible. It's possible that the state wanted to bring those buildings
down. Well, I would say this, right? If the state wanted to do something like that and wanted to pretend that it was terrorism...
Yeah.
They would have had to go all the way through the process of hiring the terrorists, training the terrorists, letting the terrorists...
And then actually blowing up the building
the country,
itself.
Not monitoring the terrorists while they were flying planes and practicing taking off but not landing. Oh, yeah, they did all those things.
Right. And you have to actually blow up the building.
I think the trouble is we're all too cynical now, is what I'm saying, I suppose.
No,
I think we've created a society now where nobody believes anything you tell them. They just automatically assume... You're up
that
to
they,
something.
Or that they're lying, that somebody else is
that
lying.
That somebody's lying, right?
How is that too
Well,
cynical?
The moon landings,
but
right?
But isn't that our job, your job especially, is the question, why was this person, why was Ed Miliband still around?
Well, that's a very good question.
Why is, I asked my son, who knows this stuff, how did Andy Burnham get to this position?
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There is some... I don't even know what the word is. Am I right? There's some group of people who've gotten together, eyes wide shut.
I'm not sure there's a kind of overarching world where people control everything, which is what some people think. I mean, that's the kind of, that's the final point of that conversation, isn't it? Where you believe in the World Economic Forum running everything. I've seen this Carl Schwab guy, whatever his name is.
Right.
Klaus Schwab.
And he doesn't look like much.
Well, he's not very good, is he? Let's face it, you know, if if the World Economic Forum was really running everything, they would be running it better, I think. But everybody that you talk to who thinks that way has another excuse for why, you know, like, well, they're deliberately making it seem as though they don't do it, or they're deliberately running down the currency, or they're deliberately letting us fall into kind of, you know, poverty, rack and ruin, civil war, blah. You know, I don't think anyone's that clever.
But that's the Ben Shapiro thing, where he thinks that sometimes people are just idiots.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Okay, but also people do get together and they do say, I've got 200 billion pounds to work with and I'm going to give you a billion.
Right.
I'm going to give a billion to promote this idea. And it seems to, it's like this water thing. Why is water so big? Why is the idea drink water?
I don't know. Because it is good for you.
No. Have you done any research?
Well, it's not bad for you.
You just haven't got... Your proof is I don't go to the bathroom as often.
That's not true.
That's what you just said before.
Well, I did say that, but that's not the be-all and end-all of the water conversation. It's not... I drink it because it stops me going to the bathroom.
And people are dying sooner now than they did 10 years ago.
I don't know if that's true. People are living longer now than they used to.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They're not.
During Elizabethan times.
I'm talking about 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago.
Well, my mother lived to be 99.
Yes. They were very healthy.
She was alive until 2 years ago.
And what was she eating?
Not very much by the end. She couldn't really chew anything.
But what was she eating when she was born? She was eating animal fat.
She was eating what you would call a Scottish diet, which wasn't very, very nutritious.
That's obviously not true. If you lived in 99, it was perfectly nutritious.
Well, I mean, she didn't just eat that. I mean, she ate all sorts of different things. But, I mean, she would have grown up quite poor.
Yeah.
They probably would have eaten mince and potatoes most nights if they had mince,
And the
it wouldn't be 5%. It wouldn't be 5% either, because they didn't have that. They just had mince, right? So there was no choice in the matter. And hardly any vegetables. We used to make Graham soup.
What is Graham soup?
Which is basically vegetable soup.
Yeah.
But we called it Graham soup, put it in a pressure cooker, and a load of vegetables, barley.
What did your mother eat in the 1950s and 40s and 30s when she was growing?
I've no idea, but she was in the war. I mean, she was in the Blitz in Glasgow when she was 17.
What did they? What they ate. If they had mince and potatoes.
Mince and potatoes would have been a staple.
They would have taken the fat from the mince and put it on toast.
Probably. Yeah.
But the people today don't have any hat, and they have 5% beef. That's what I used to eat, not eat, you know, in the 80s and 90s.
I mean, I love mince. I probably eat mince 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's not bad food.
Right? Because there's so much you can do with it. Do you know what I bought the other week, actually?
Yeah.
Which I bought because I thought I've always wanted to try and cook with it. Oops. Just knocked that off. I bought some ghee.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is actually...
which is clarified butter.
Clarified butter, yeah. I was making a curry and it called for ghee. Mm. And I normally would just use butter and sunflower oil because that's a good substitute for it.
Why? Why sunflower oil? Sunflower oil is a toxic seed oil. So
just because I wouldn't put olive oil in a curry. That was the only other oil I had.
But why would you even put... Why would you put any kind of oil in a curry?
Well, because you want to fry things.
But why would you fry?
I've stopped doing it now.
Should never use seed oils for anything. They're toxic.
Well, I've now stopped. One of the reasons I lost weight, actually, was I stopped using olive oil because I used to fry. So if I was making spaghetti bolognese, I would fry the onions and the garlic in olive oil. Now I just kind of stew everything and put some tomatoes.
What about cook the beef, the fat of the beef, then you put the onions in there?
You could do that. What I now do, though, is I just don't put any oil or butter or fat or anything in.
Yeah.
And I just cook it all in one sort of one pot. It's like a stew, you know?
Yeah, but that's also, I mean, God gave us animal fat.
Did he?
Yes.
You believe in God, then? Just not.
No,
you don't believe in 9/11, but you believe in God. It's a bit of a...
I almost believe in God. More and more.
Almost.
Because they tell us not to believe in God.
So Who does?
Charles Schwab.
Loads of people now. Charles Schwab.
Whatever that they were using.
I remember Charles Schwab. I think I had, my wife had an account with him some time ago.
And then there was another Schwab who was like had the biggest house in New York. Was a Schwab.
Was he a Schwab? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
was Charles Schwab real? I remember there was a man who said he was Charles Schwab.
Yes, he was. From what I remember, I always
enjoyed that about American advertising, that they would get the guy that ran the business to actually do the advert. I always thought that was quite funny.
Because it's who do you trust? It's like I'm watching a lot of AI. This is not AI, obviously.
This is not AI, no.
But you watch a video like this with a guy who's talking. He's always doing his hands like this if you watch AI. And you can't trust it.
You tell the difference then? Because I can sometimes, but not always. I can see somebody sent a picture in the other day of a video of something, and I thought that doesn't look right. And so I actually had a look at the scene it was supposed to be portraying. It was basically a load of people supposedly praying on the beach in Bournemouth, you know, like Muslims praying on the beach.
Right.
And then I looked up the scene, and when I looked at the real scene, there were palm trees in it, and then the video didn't have any palm trees in it. So I thought that's AI. It must be fake.
Oh, interesting.
So they were, because they were basically saying, look,
so they
this
had
is,
taken something from some Arab country.
So, yeah, some
and transposed
and somehow
it into
made it into, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and so we didn't use it in the end, because I said, I don't really, that doesn't look right to me.
No.
And if it doesn't look right, then somebody's doing that to deliberately antagonize people.
And
that's not our job, you know?
I'm antagonized, and life is real.
I antagonize people by accident.
Yeah.
Which is better.
I don't believe you do. People like you so much, Mike Graham.
Well, people who like me, but there's a lot of people that hate me as well, though.
Yeah, but that's the whole idea. Who wants to be liked by everybody?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, they're all saying when you want everybody to like you, I forget what the saying is.
It's a sort of narcissism, isn't
no,
it?
No, I think it's a Yogi Berra saying.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love those.
The sayings.
The one I always remember was the one about the bar. Nobody goes there anymore.
Nobody
goes. It's too crowded.
It's too crowded.
Yeah. It's great. But it's also, there's a truth to that, isn't there?
Well,
because I'm the same as, because whenever I, when I used to go, when I was in New York, whenever I could get into a restaurant, I'd be like, well, it mustn't be trendy anymore. Because
there's nobody
trendy,
that we know is there. Yeah. That's what he's saying, Yogi Berra. Yeah. People probably don't even know who Yogi
No, but
Berra.
Also, when they used to open those restaurants in New York and you couldn't get into them.
Yeah.
I remember when Robert De Niro opened the Tribeca Grill, I had to go and review it for the Sunday Times. And I couldn't get a table. They said, you can have one at 5 or you want one at 9, just to prove how weak and useless I was at getting into restaurants.
Right.
So I had to go at 5 o'clock. And try and hang around.
Was it different food though?
It was not particularly brilliant. I mean, it was the first place I'd ever seen a box, talking of water.
Yeah.
I asked for some water. They brought out this bottle of Fiji water.
Right.
And it was $18. And this is in the 90s.
Yeah.
God knows what it would be now. And I thought, that's ridiculous. But it was in a sort of ice sculpture. And I was like, I just wanted some water. I didn't want.
Well, it's a long way to come.
Well, I was living up in Midtown. It wasn't like,
No, not for Utica, but for the bottle of water to come.
It was from Fiji,
Fiji.
I don't think it's from there, though.
What is the point that we've missed here? Because I've watched the old streams, and a lot of these conversations that we have, let's call it a conversation, is they fritter off without being resolved.
That's okay, though.
Is that okay?
I think so. I don't, because we're not, what are we going to do? We're going to solve the world's problems sitting here. We're not.
I want to.
Do you?
Yes.
All right.
I want people to listen to me.
But people aren't listening.
I don't want people to drink as much water. I think that's totally, I don't want people to bathe. I don't want people to brush
their teeth. Said last week you only shower once a week. Which
I don't even
down
shower.
Surprisingly well, actually.
Do I look clean to you?
You do.
Do I smell?
You don't smell.
Yeah.
I told you, last week we had a guest who came in who did smell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who was, Jeremy Corbyn's brother.
Oh, don't badmouth him. He's poor Jeremy Corbyn's brother.
Yeah, but he doesn't smell good, though. Anyway.
But isn't he going to hear this? And isn't he going to hurt his feelings?
Well, he must know.
No, he doesn't know. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't. I
mean, you would know. Somebody would tell you if you smelled.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. But you are right. You're right to tell him, to let him know.
People should know, I think.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
But he's also, I think he's, are they rich, the Corbyns? Did they have
money? They came from money, yeah.
They came from money.
Whether they have it or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an eccentric.
He is an eccentric.
Yeah.
He is.
Doesn't have to try to make out he's an eccentric. He just is.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, what do you do? And his brother is the prime minister, or wants to be prime minister, or was going to be prime minister.
Yeah, not anymore, though.
No,
I think it's all over for him. I mean, he peaked.
That's what's really sad. That's like with us. It's like you reach a certain point, it ain't going to happen.
And well, imagine what it's like, for example, and I know nobody's going to have any sympathy for, and I'm not suggesting you should have any sympathy for Rachel Reeves, but, you know, she was promoted way beyond her abilities. And ended up being chancellor, a job she couldn't do.
But isn't every one of these people that are put in these positions, from Ed Miliband on down, they have no experience.
They have no experience, and they shouldn't get those kinds of jobs. But she now has to wander off to the back benches, and, you know, doesn't have the ministerial car, doesn't have, you know, anywhere to live apart from her own house.
Yeah.
Which I know is not that terrible, but I remember once interviewing... Was it McGovern who lost to Nixon?
George McGovern.
You know, he lost to Nixon
in 1972.
Because I was doing it, I had to do a series of interviews with people who had kind of had something terrible happen to them or whatever it was. And he was great because he told me how when they were running, he gets, you know, special protection from the... you know, the State Department and all that. And he had all these bodyguards and stuff. And then as soon as he lost the election, he woke up in the morning, they'd all gone.
Yeah.
Literally everyone.
All my friends.
Yeah. And all of these had been like, he's had about seven people living in his house. Yeah. And, you know, everywhere he went, his Secret Service were like, you know, running around the side of the car. And he said, I suddenly woke up the next morning and they'd all disappeared.
Yeah.
And he said, I got quite used to it. I quite liked it. But now I don't have it, you know.
Well... Do you know what about George McGovern? He has hurt more people in the history of the world than probably anyone.
Has he?
Yeah, he was the one who, under his power as a senator and head of a Senate Food Committee or something, he was the one who arranged, and I think I should check this before I say it, but he arranged the food pyramid, which said that people should be eating a lot of carbs, like 5 portions, 10 portions of grains and potatoes. Yeah.
Huh.
And all... From that point onward, across the world, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, has gone through the roof because of him.
Interesting.
He probably didn't know what he was doing.
Was he doing that at the behest of some food business or something?
Well, he was, and I liked George McGovern a lot, and I supported George McGovern a little bit. But yes, because he's a communist. Mm.
The problem with all of that
was he
food
a communist?
Advice.
He wouldn't be called a communist today.
He wouldn't
today,
call himself that now, would he?
But he was at the time. Yeah. He was a globalist. He wanted people to have corn. And he also came from a corn-growing state.
Yeah, so that would have been why then. So that's also a part of it. Acting on behalf
of the industry.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Remember George Bush Sr. when he got up one time and he'd upset all the broccoli farmers because he told somebody he didn't like broccoli.
Yeah.
And it was a massive kind of, you know, shitstorm in the press. And he got up at some White House function and he said, look, I'm the president of the United States of America. I've never liked broccoli. I don't like broccoli. I'm not going to eat it now.
Yeah, did he say that?
Yeah, yeah. And it was brilliant. I thought this is great, you know, because most people would have gone, oh, you might upset the farmers, you know. But he didn't care.
And you want to know something? He's totally right. Broccoli is a mustard seed plant. And it's only been around for about 150 years. Yeah. People didn't eat broccoli.
Right. Well, see, I get told to eat a lot of broccoli.
Yeah, people get told because
and I used to, but I've kind of given up now.
You should give up. I used to feed my kids broccoli. I used to sprinkle sugar on the broccoli, like white sugar, in order to make my kids eat it.
That's probably not a good thing.
No, it was a good thing. It was brilliant. And then at a certain point, before I became a carnivore, they loved broccoli. They just eat broccoli without anything on it.
I mean, I don't mind it. It's just that I ate a lot of it in New York when I... Because every time you'd order a Chinese meal, they'd give you loads of broccoli.
Yes, that's right.
And I'd get sick of it. So I didn't eat broccoli for years. And then I started again last year when I was told, lose some weight, eat some broccoli. So I did. But now I've eaten too much of it again, so I've given up.
No, because you should listen to me how to lose weight. Broccoli is not what you should eat. I mean, broccoli with cheese is great, but just have a piece of melted cheese.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Or just a piece of raw cheese, even.
Oh, just raw cheese. Yeah.
I love cheese.
Yeah, cheese. I support cheese.
Okay, that's a good point to end it. I think we've done about half an hour. Do you know how much we've done? 40 minutes, that's longer than usual.
It is longer.
It's a 10-minute bonus.
It is longer. Well, we don't really have a producer here to do it. He could probably do a good job.
Well, he probably could, yeah. Well, we've had a producer running in and out, but we don't really need a producer. We just do what we do.
Yeah. I hope people like this, though.
I think they do. I think they will. That was episode 3 anyway, so we'll see
you
next week. They've
said nice things on the thing. I should pretend like I don't care what people say. You're that way. I don't care what people say. But I'm not. I want people to say nice things about me. Because my mother didn't love me.
Say nice things about Lewis, particularly. Yeah. And you say what you like about me, if you need to vent.
My son has been here watching this. Yes. And I hope I haven't embarrassed him.
Has he embarrassed you?
Every day.
See, that's a healthy relationship, and he doesn't mind admitting it either, which is good.
He's right there, and he's like, you just see his face. In my life, he's just there, like, just so unimpressed.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, listen, I guess that's it. We're done. We'll see you next week.
It's like, okay. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.